Hour number three of our radio program. Welcome on in. Wednesday afternoon, Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. Really fun show so far. Bucks president Peter Fagan stopped by to take us behind the scenes of the Bucks contract negotiations with Giannis Antetokounmpo and also the trade for Damian Lillard. And then in last hour, we had two conversations. One with Jordan Travis, the quarterback of the Florida State Seminoles, who are 7-0. They play Wake Forest this weekend, and he is right in the midst of the Heisman Trophy conversation. And we were just joined a few moments ago by former big league slugger in Mo Vaughn. And I always remember two home run hitters that I loved watching as a kid and seeing in person were Mo Vaughn and Carlos Delgado. And at Shea Stadium, they had that big Budweiser scoreboard with the Mets logo, like all the way at the top of that big, gigantic, enormous scoreboard. And to just see Mo Vaughn and then eventually Carlos Delgado tattoo home runs off that scoreboard were just awesome. And Mo Vaughn, he had a big guy. He had a vicious swing, and he was such a fun player to watch. But anyway, let's get back into one of the biggest stories in sports right now, and that's Jim Harbaugh. And I don't know about you guys. Like, you would agree, Stu. I know you kind of been home the last 2 days, out sick. But you've been able to watch all the coverage and listen to all the coverage from afar. Like, this Michigan story, I'm not crazy here. It's getting covered as a big deal and as, like, this is the most, like, egregious thing to ever occur, right?
Yeah, you would think there'd been a very, very serious offense being committed by Harbaugh in Michigan.
So, let's just see. I'm not only just talking to Stu there. It's only my feeling. Samter, the coverage of this would suggest that this is, like, in the last 24, 48, 72 hours, as this is one of the craziest things to ever happen to college football.
I don't necessarily think that the coverage of the actual incident is claiming that this is the craziest thing, but the details are crazy. The information that we're hearing is crazy. The fact that they sent this guy who would sit at the 50-yard line at all these games in the Big Ten. He's a Marine. He would sit the 50-yard line on either side of the field. He would go to non-SEC or non-Big Ten games. He'd go to SEC games and other teams that were potentially going to be in the college playoff. The details are juicy. The actual act itself certainly is not, you know, death penalty worthy. It's not, you know, vacate wins necessarily, but...
Well, it depends who you're asking. Ohio State fans, Penn State fans are going to be like, sure, throw the book at Michigan. We can't beat them right now. Down with Harbaugh. Down with Michigan. Lock them up and throw away the key. But when Zach Smith did what he did and Urban Meyer lied to everyone, oh, you know, poor Urban Meyer, he did nothing wrong. Or when, unfortunately, the horrible acts and the heinous acts of Jerry Sandusky occurred on the campus of Penn State, it was like, oh, Joe Pa didn't know. And now all those fan bases are ready to jump down the throat of Jim Harbaugh.
And I think the difference is, listen, to compare Jerry Sandusky and Paterno, to compare Zach Smith.
Totally different.
The reason why I think that this matters in a different way is this specifically plays towards competitive advantage.
Integrity of the game.
Yeah. And if Michigan didn't seem to benefit from this advanced scouting, I wouldn't really care. Jim Harbaugh's record before and after this is purported to have happened and started.
You're using big words today. Jeez.
And
you're the smart one on this show.
His
win-loss
record before and after the alleged scheme is significantly different. He goes from like a 60% win percentage to a 90-something percent win percentage. He goes from one or two wins against the big three in the Big Ten to being undefeated against Ohio State and Penn State. There was a significant advantage gained. And at the end of the day, you're right, it's not the biggest scandal in the history of college football, but it's a big deal. It's going to taint Jim Harbaugh's record. If they win a national title or even a Big Ten championship this year, it's going to add questions to whether or not they deserved it.
That's why you're
this
wrong.
This is a big deal. This is a bigger deal than I think you're making it out to be. Maybe a smaller deal than guys like Ryan Hickey and the Penn State fan base are making it out to be. But this is a big deal.
But here's why you're wrong. You just said if Michigan wins this year, the championship would be tainted. Now everyone is watching. And the thing that gets lost here is how frequently programs change their signs to begin with. Now everyone, when they go up against Michigan, just out of the fear and the paranoia, is going to change their signs. It's similar to when the Patriots got busted for Spygate. And then they went on that run and that bleep you season of 2007 where they almost went undefeated, where they got exposed so early. And then they said, okay, we'll line up against anybody and just beat the snot out of you. And regardless if you have the signs or not, the last 2 years, Michigan finally got their identity. And their identity was built in the trenches.
Identity is cheaters.
No, but you look at that team. I don't care if they had the signs or not. It's obvious what happened the last 2 years against Ohio State. They beat the snot out of that defense with their offensive line and their run game. And they ran right in between them and right through the tackles. And they hit in a big home run play on a passing play. So, with going off of everything that we're finding out, two things. One, you're not wrong when I say like Zach Smith and when I say Jerry Sandusky. Yes, those acts are a lot more heinous and a lot more important than a Marine stealing signs and having this whole scheme. But it is similar, like, right, with the way that we talked about Deflategate, where there's a lot of fans that can't separate the two, and they'll go look at the domestic violence issues that occur in the NFL, and nothing ever happens, and then Tom Brady gets slapped with the 4-game suspension for allegedly deflating footballs. But to reel this back into my original point, I think this has been a pretty significant story in the last 48 to 72 hours, and that's why I was kind of stunned in a publication that I like a lot, In Awful Announcing, and they've put some nice things out about this show and about me as a talk show host before. But they had this article today, why isn't the Michigan cheating scandal a bigger story? And that was, to me, when I saw the headline, I read the article, I'm like, wait, this is a pretty big story. We've talked about this for 3 straight days. This has been a national story. So I was a little confused today when Awful Announcing put out this article, why isn't the Michigan cheating scandal a bigger story? But like Tiki Barber, for example, he played. Tiki Barber works right down the hall from us. Tiki Barber used to be on CBS Sports Radio for years before he went down the hall to WFAN. I asked Tiki yesterday, I said, do you think this is that big of a deal? And he goes, no, it goes on all the time. And things like this happen. I do think teams steal signs. That's been going on for years. Now, sending someone to go film the opponent and have tickets to all these games, you know, that stuff doesn't necessarily always go on. So Michigan needs to be punished. Michigan needs to be punished to some degree. But I don't think this is, let's throw the book and let's, like, tear down the Michigan program. But for the NCAA, as Coach Prime would say, now this is personal. Because Michigan already had one impending issue with, for the most part, very insignificant recruiting violations during COVID and a little bit after that. And because Harbaugh did not bow down to the almighty NCAA, now the NCAA, with more information and more against Michigan and something that is more serious than what they had a few months ago, I think this is personal now for the NCAA. But I said this yesterday and I'll say it again. Anyone that anticipates the NCAA to quickly swoop in and ban, like, Michigan from postseason play this year, you don't follow the NCAA. And for anyone putting pressure on the Big Ten to say, oh, Michigan can't compete in their Big Ten championship game this year, they'll never do that. Because no matter what the other schools say in the Big Ten knows how great Michigan can be this year. And Michigan has a chance to win the college football playoff. They're not going to let that get in the way of what the other schools may want to have happen. I think it's pretty weak that the other schools also are advocating for Michigan right now to basically be shut down and not to be allowed in postseason play or the Big Ten championship game. And the NCAA is notoriously slow, and they take forever to give out a punishment and a punitive action. So I don't think you're realistic right now if you believe that the NCAA is going to swoop in and drop the hammer on Michigan before the college football playoff. with like five games left in the regular season. If you're operating under that belief, you are just delusional. It's like the definition of jackassery. You are not in touch with reality with the way that the NCAA operates. Because the way the NCAA operates is you let the season play out, and then they do something which is the dumbest thing that we do in sports. And that's vacate wins and vacate national championships. I say this all the time. Whether it's with steroids in baseball, whether it's with recruiting violations or sign stealing, as the public, we may put an asterisk on it. Okay, that's fine. But the actual leagues that try to erase history that occurred, just tell the story. So if you want to, like, let's say Michigan wins a national championship this year and you want to make the sign stealing thing the story, that's you're right. But don't tell me that Louisville didn't win a basketball national championship a few years ago. Like, don't tell me Reggie Bush didn't win a Heisman Trophy. Don't tell me Michigan the last 2 years didn't win two Big Ten championships. And that's something that drives me bonkers with the NCAA, is when an infraction occurs, they take away wins. Like, I can't stand Jim Boeheim. I think Jim Boeheim, the last few years, just did a disservice to his legendary coaching career, and Jim Boeheim the last few years is a big baby. And it's comical to me, that guy, that all he did was try to attack the media and attack student journalists. The moment that dude gets forced out, they call it a retirement, but he got forced out, now he joins the media. But Jim Boeheim, as much as I don't like that guy, the fact that the NCAA took away some of his wins is ridiculous. So when the NCAA eventually takes away some wins from Michigan here, that's just stupid. It's dumb. But overall, I think the most fascinating thing here now, and more information will come out, and I think a lot of people like Jeff Saturday didn't have a big deal with the sign stealing. Tiki Barber didn't have a big deal with the sign stealing. Yes, Michigan took it to a different level. I'm not exonerating Michigan here. They did take it to a different level. But for me, this is not the worst thing in the world to like ever happen in college sports. And I don't think we need to tear down Michigan. There needs to be some penalty. But we don't need to tear down Michigan and make this out to be a bigger deal than what it actually is. And a lot of people in football are like, so what? You know, this isn't that big of a deal in their mind. And for me, that matters. Now, I did tell you yesterday, Samter, that we should dress up on Tuesday, right? Is Halloween, I believe, next week? So you're on board. Do you have a costume idea in mind?
None whatsoever. I'll come up with something.
Well, you better get game planning, because I'm coming prepared for Halloween, and it may, all I'm going to say, don't want you to guess it. I may give it away here, but it may have something to do with this topic that we're talking about right now.
I have an idea.
Stu, I feel like Stu, ever since getting the girlfriend, has had a different social life here. And Stu, there's been a different Stuart Kovacs now. Stu looks like a movie star now. Stu walks around the office with some confidence and some swagger and some touch. Some people even say Stu looks a little bit like Mike McDaniel. I see that in the chat time from time. I think Stu, if we just leave it up to Stu to dress up for Halloween, Stu will be like, I'm not really going all out. But if we communicate to the missus that we expect Stu to have a certain Halloween costume or do something for Halloween, I then think Stu will go all out. You all in to dress up for Halloween?
I'm all in. There's something in the works.
Oh, already something in the works? And so is this something that was already pre-planned before I even said we were going to dress up for Halloween?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, or is this something that You and your significant other are dressing up as like a little duo, and
nope,
you're coming to work?
It's not a duo. It's a singular Stu.
Singular Stu.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Bachelor Stu, as some may say.
By the way, I did take your advice. I mentioned to the wife about doing a joint baby husband-wife thing. She has no interest. My wife is not into dressing
really?
Up at all. I keep trying to get her, because our dog's birthday is the day before Halloween.
Yeah.
She just refuses to get him a costume. So she's not into the costume idea. I'm trying to push it.
So your wife's feeling some type of way right now.
She's just not
saying.
Big into dressing up. We have a costume for the baby, but not for us.
So my Michigan scouting report of your wife That sounds really wrong now that I say it out loud. Was totally off. I thought from...
Were you sitting outside in a tree and filming us? Is that what you're talking about? Michigan scouting report?
Potentially. You had filet mignon the other night with some asparagus, right? And some mashed potatoes.
It's actually kind of creepy. That's what we had last night.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
Mom, those ain't no mashed potatoes.
That's really creepy.
That was just a random guess.
No, we didn't have that. I'm just messing with you.
Ma, those ain't no mashed potatoes. One of my favorite lines from the Notorious B.I.G. movie. But anyway, I thought from the two times I met your wife at one was a Super Bowl. Was she ever at the office?
She came here a couple times. She's been to a Final Four and a couple Super Bowls.
I remember meeting your wife two times. She's a very bubbly personality, very nice person. I thought she would have been the typical gal that would be like, oh, we got to dress up. Santa's got to be a pumpkin with the baby or for Halloween or a scarecrow, something like that. I thought she would have been all in for that. So what I suggested.
I'm in for it. She has no interest.
So, wow, I thought that was going to get you some brownie points, a little bam chicken wham wham time with the missus. I really thought that.
I mean, that's not how marriage works, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, hey, Mike wants to actually dress up this year and play with the game. I really thought that was going to help you with your misses. But hey, sometimes, you know, even Michael Jordan missed a few shots, right? That's just what I'll say. I don't know if I'm comparing myself to Michael Jordan, but hey.
I don't know. I'm more like Kyle Kuzma, maybe. I missed a lot more shots than Michael Jordan did.
I would think you're more like Grayson Allen. You got that dirty side to you where you just trip people and punch people.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment.
You're like a mixture of Grayson Allen and Draymond Green. You win. There's some championship DNA, but you may be kicking some people where it hurts. Oh, one of my all-time favorite people. Oh, this is great. Sully is calling us. The great Sully. Sully, what's happening, my friend?
Zach, my guy, what are we doing?
What are we doing? We're having some fun. We're doing a little radio show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Buddy, you filled in. Now you're my favorite afternoon drive time people, right? We still got Stu and Samter just chilling there.
Yeah, we've acquired the services of Stu and Samter, and they always do a sensational job.
Buddy, I love those two behind the glass. They're great people, as well as I love you, buddy. How you been?
Well, I've been fantastic. You know, different lifestyle now. Doing the afternoon show, and I miss Sully, and I'm just hoping now being in this afternoon time slot, and we'll see if it becomes permanent, if now I get to acquire Sully, and we basically kick Pearl off to the curb, and now you're my guy.
Buddy, you always my guy. Maggie and Perloff, they're on way too early for the West Coast to be able to catch maybe the last 30 minutes of their show. It's way too early for me out here.
Well, here's the big question, Sully, that I have for you. Before you give your point on Michigan, because I know you want to talk about Harbaugh. Were you happy that the Pats won last weekend? Because I wasn't.
You know, my mind flipped during that game to this season. I don't want to sit on a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday for 3.5 hours en route for my team to lose. So I'm just going to see where this season goes.
Gotcha.
I'm just going to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm all in on the tank. I want to lose, and get a great draft pick and get a new quarterback.
Who do you pick?
No, I want the number one overall pick, and I want Caleb Williams.
Well, what if you don't get one? What if you get the other guys? Who do you go up to after that?
Drake May, you know, from UNC. That's where I'm going. But if I don't get one of the top two guys, then I'm out on a quarterback.
Buddy, I watched that Oregon-Washington game.
Penix is great.
I'm all in on Penix. Penix Jr. was putting the ball in the size of a keyhole.
Yeah, I would take Michael Penix Jr. You're right. I'd throw that name into the conversation as well. If Shador comes out, I'd take him too. But they need a new quarterback because they've already messed up Mac and they didn't get enough talent. But what do you want to say quickly, Sully, about Michigan? I know you were wanting to chomp at the bit on Harbaugh.
I really don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. I mean, Samter came with some stats, but I'm not a big stat guy either because you could probably Google some other stats and it would shoot all those things out the window. But it's not a big deal. Like, ease up. They got nothing else to talk about. I think Harbaugh, I've loved Harbaugh as a coach. I love the way he coaches. I'm not a fan of his brother just because of the Baltimore Patriots. But I'm always in for, like, look, he's taking young men and young boys and teaching them how to be men. So what? So they looked at a couple of things. I think it's all baloney, and it gives the NCAA something to put their teeth into because they can't put their teeth into kids anymore with the NIL deals.
And as Bill Belichick would say, and thanks for the phone call, Sully, one of my favorite people of all time. Sully's like one of the nicest dudes. As Bill Belichick would say, stats are for losers.
So look at that. Sully going after Samter. You take Maggie and Perloff out of the mix, and now Sully can't stand Samter after saying something nice about you.
I mean, listen, I rub people the wrong way. I need to have buffers around me to kind of keep the negativity out.
Yeah, but I like people that rub people the wrong way. You know, I always like people that aren't afraid to be a little polarizing and a little bit of a, what's the word, antagonist.
Hey, a pot stirrer.
You're a provocateur.
Yes, there you go.
You definitely are.
It's not intentional.
Yeah.
I think it's just my nature. I just like to always see the other side of things.
Yeah.
So you say X, and even if I 10 days ago said X, I now say Y.
Yeah, Samter, Skip Bayless. No one ever confused those two people.
But it's not even intentional. I'm not trying to be a troll. I just kind of am.
All righty, we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will do Take 5 coming up in 20 minutes from now. When we return, though, I want to continue on this Harbaugh conversation. Because now Harbaugh's at a crossroads. Do you leave Michigan, or do you stick it to the NCAA and say, I'm not going anywhere? What should Jim Harbaugh do? We'll discuss that next. That is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of food in the office today. Samter, what were you eating before the show? I saw like some mac and cheese on your plate. It looked like it was like Thanksgiving.
Of the 20 things on my plate, you noticed the mac and cheese. There were shrimp skewers. There was ribs.
Shrimp skewers?
Yeah, there was salmon. There were like crispy chicken wings. There was a whole bunch of stuff. Collard greens were on there, but you may not have seen that part because I ate those pretty quick. And you focus on the mac and cheese. That was a heck of a meal. Plus a banana pudding at the end.
Wow. So I did not dabble into any of that stuff. Today I had a... For lunch, I had chicken noodle soup. And then tonight for dinner, I'm going to have a chicken salad as well. Salad with chopped grilled chicken. So that's what I'm having. But I did have a little sweet treat. As someone brought in cookies today, they had a double chocolate chip cookie. Man, my mouth is watering after devouring that double chocolate chip cookie. Stu, what did you eat today?
There was some Taco Bell in the office.
Really?
Yes. I think there was still some there.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell?
Yeah, so I had a little bit of that.
Gotcha.
Picked on that.
Now, what's wrong with you? You were sick.
I was. I
just congested?
Yeah, I had a very bad head cold.
Okay. Because usually when you're sick, I don't think Taco Bell is is the best thing for you.
It was kind of like a rebound meal.
Yeah.
You know, get back to normal type of thing.
You know, sometimes I always like question the parenting I received when I was a kid. When I was sick once, my mom thought it was a good idea to give me hot and sour soup. And we were at like a Chinese restaurant. And then on the way home, the hot and sour soup, I guess, did not agree with me when I was sick. And it ended up all in the front seat. If you know what transpired there. And no, I was not Sean Marash. It was not an oopsie. That was just a young Zach Gelb projectile vomiting. Anyway, getting back to this Michigan story before we do Take 5 Wednesday coming up in about 10 minutes from now. I'll give you my top 5 teams in college football and the NFL. I'm just going to ask a very simple question. If you were Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh is a very strange guy. You know, I think people like expect to travel like a certain road and then for whatever reason, people love to like abandon the GPS and not follow directions and go, oh no, I know the shortcut. I know my way. And sometimes a shortcut is actually a shortcut. Other times people tell you, oh, there's a shortcut and it's just, hey, I know how long it takes to get from point A to point B and we're like tacking on an extra 30 minutes, but that person lives and dies by the shortcut being a shortcut even though it's a long cut. So when it comes to Jim Harbaugh, right now he's at a crossroads where he knows bare minimum he's going to get hit with another game or two from the recruiting violation. Now there's going to be some certain suspension from the sign stealing. I don't know how severe this is going to be. I think a lot of fans are making this to be a severe infraction. The NCAA is going to do something, but I don't know if it's going to be a fine, if it's going to be taking away scholarships, you know, an extra few games added on to the suspension, whatever it is. And we got to see how many years this is going to take for the NCAA, which moves like snails and they move so slow to begin with, to actually give a punitive action to Jim Harbaugh and to Michigan. So let's just throw it out there this way. Jim Harbaugh, should he go back to the NFL or should he say, oh, people are now wondering if I could win in the NCAA without this sign stealing scheme that's going on. So everyone expects me to leave. Now I'm going to do the opposite, and I'm going to stay loyal to Michigan, and I'm going to come back to Michigan. Because there were some reports a few weeks ago, and I don't want to say they were from credible sources, but there were some reports out there that Jim Harbaugh was going to get a long-term extension done with Michigan sooner rather than later. Now, I've always been operating under the belief that Jim Harbaugh was going to depart for the NFL after this year, because you look at the last two seasons, he clearly wanted that Vikings job. The Vikings didn't give him that job, but he sat through a 10, 11, 12-hour interview process. And last year, he was imploring for an NFL job, and no one really seemed to take him up on his beg and his begging attempt to get that NFL job. So I really do believe he's going to go back to the NFL, but now with people calling his integrity into question and people saying, oh, he's definitely going to leave, I do wonder, because usually Harbaugh, I feel like he's a guy you tell him what to do and he does the opposite. So I'm really conflicted here now, where for weeks and for months, I thought it was a lock that Harbaugh was going to go back to the NFL. Now I don't know how he's going to take this personally, because a lot of people could kind of look at it what Pete Carroll did. Up, there's going to be sanctions. I've already won. I know Pete Carroll won national championships and Jim Harbaugh just won Big Ten championships, and maybe he wins a national championship this year. But Pete Carroll bolted to the NFL because he knew he was going to get punished and things were going to catch up to him at USC. So that's a fascinating decision. And sometimes talk show hosts are afraid to say, I don't know. Now, I don't know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do. I still lean towards the side that he's going to go back to the NFL, because a team like the Commanders should come calling this offseason. The Chargers should come calling. Maybe the Buffalo Bills, the Chicago Bears, where he played for, you know, should come calling. But if they don't come calling, or they don't offer him a job like the last two offseasons, you kind of have no choice but to stay in the NFL. But let's just say he gets offered an NFL job. Does he take it? Or does he stay at Michigan? Stu, if you were Harbaugh right now, and you got to remember, this is his school. This is his alma mater. But you also may have that itch of going back to the NFL, where in 4 years, you went to three NFC title games, and then you also went to a Super Bowl, but you didn't win that Super Bowl. Now you've turned around Michigan. You've got Michigan to beat Ohio State twice in some controversy, and we still don't know the details of that controversy. And you've been to the college football playoff twice, but you haven't won a college football playoff game yet. And if you don't win it this year, you may never win it because they're expanding to 12 teams after this season. You may have some sanctions and it's a loaded team. How do you think Harbaugh will internalize it in this offseason? Will he just run to the NFL, or will he say, you know what, bleep the NCAA. I'll take my penalty and then I'll just shove it down there. You know what, coming up the next few years, and I'll never leave Michigan and I'll win once again.
Yeah, I think he's always been someone to me that's had the eye on going back to the NFL, and I think this only makes it more likely. And he's going to be 60 in December, so like...
That's crazy.
He's not, you know, he's not young. He's not in his 40s anymore. Like, there's going to be a certain point in time where that window of going back to the NFL is going to close, and I think it might be... This might be his best and last chance to get a really good job that he wants.
Are you annoyed that your Raiders... 2 years ago, didn't hire him? Forget that they hired McDaniels, and McDaniels is a bad hire, even though he was deserving of a second chance to become a head coach. It's been a disaster. But were you annoyed 2 years ago when a lot of people, like, who's the guy that covers a team? Vic Tafer. Tafer?
Yeah.
Like, we tried to do a mock draft of coaches on CBS Sports Radio. Harbaugh was already off the board. He's like, I can't do this mock draft because I think it's really going to be Harbaugh, and he's unavailable. I'm like, Vic, come on, like, play the game here. But Vic was like, no, I really think it's going to be Harbaugh. So there was that feeling that Harbaugh was going to go to the Raiders, and I don't even know if he got an interview, honestly, with the Raiders.
I don't think he did. I wanted him or Doug Peterson at the time, and they got neither. They got McDaniels. So yeah. That's how that ended up.
Maybe we should make Stu the GM of the Raiders. Both of those hires would have been 10 times better than Josh McDaniels. So you're in the camp of the NFL. Samter, where are you right now? Do you think he automatically goes back to the NFL if offered a job, Jim Harbaugh? Or does he say, I'll be a contrarian, bleep the NCAA, and I'll show them who's boss?
I thought after Burgergate that wasn't necessarily going to push him. This might, because I do think that this could come with some serious violations and punishments.
Yeah.
So I think that this might, kind of like with Pete Carroll, like you said, this might push him over the edge. But part of it is, like, everywhere that he's been, he kind of left with almost a bad taste in their mouth, right?
Yeah.
Like Stanford...
issues with Richard Sherman.
Issues. Then he went to San Francisco, and then he had issues with Trent Baalke. Then he goes to Michigan. And if he leaves again and leaves the program kind of decimated because of violations or whatever else, and he just bolts and goes to the NFL, there's going to start be this narrative around Jim Harbaugh. Not only that he leaves teams worse off than he had them, but also now there's going to be questions about how he's winning and was he cheating or was he getting unfair advantages. I almost feel like if this is proven true, it would be better for his legacy, for his narrative, to stay at Michigan, prove that he can do it there, and then hop to the NFL.
So I don't think you're wrong, but there will be an NFL team that eventually comes calling, because whether you like the way that he went about it or not, and we don't know if this stuff happened in the NFL, the facts are the guy's been to three NFC title games and a Super Bowl. So some team will say, all right, I'm willing to give that guy a second chance rather than an unknown or seeing some other bozos that failed in the NFL and still got a second chance. And even if Michigan says we want to move on or he doesn't stay at Michigan and then a few years he's back in the college coaching game, we've seen coaches do allegedly a lot worse and still be given second and third chances. Harbaugh, everywhere he goes, he wins in some capacity. Doesn't win a championship in terms of a Super Bowl or a national championship, but he knows how to win division titles. He knows how to win the conference. And that's why there will always be a job for Jim Harbaugh. I still lean that he goes to the NFL, but I think it's closer now because I could see him saying, oh, I'm a Michigan man, and I'm just going to fight the NCAA. And I still don't know what the sanctions are going to be because in the moment right now, I do believe this is a bigger deal than what it actually is. All righty, we'll come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a little Take 5 Wednesday. I'll give you my top five teams in the NFL and college football. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here he is, the Act Man, Rich Ackerman. All righty, we continue on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Andrew in San Antonio says, Zach, what are your expectations for Victor Wembanyama this season as he makes his NBA debut tonight? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think my expectations for Victor Wembanyama, this is not like a earth-shattering answer and a crazy answer. It's the win rookie of the year. And have the Spurs, right, competing for a playoff spot. And now with the play-in tournament to get into the postseason, I don't think those are crazy expectations year one. But I do expect him to be the rookie of the year this year. And then anything after that is an added bonus. Now, what was the bet? We'll do a little cross-show promotion here because I love Maggie and Perloff in the mornings on CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. And I'll be a company guy here on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and also streaming on YouTube. What is the bet that Maggie and Perloff make bets all the time? And they have to like eat like crazy things and do ridiculous things, but that's what they do. That's why they are who they are. But what is this bet about driving to San Antonio? And it has to do with Victor Wembanyama, Samter. I must have missed this one.
So Perloff, I think, is the only person on the planet. And, you know, like Perloff likes to go against the grain, which is kind of his thing. He is the only person on the planet who's not a believer in Victor Wembanyama, or at least not as much of a believer as most of us are. So he made a bet. He said there's no chance that Wembanyama is as good as people think he is. And there's a 0% chance, or maybe not zero, but there's no chance that he is going to win Rookie of the Year in the NBA this year. He said if he wins Rookie of the Year, he's going to drive down to San Antonio, walk around the Riverwalk and the Alamo, carrying a sign saying, I'm an idiot. I thought Wembanyama wasn't going to win Rookie of the Year.
Can I actually get in on this?
You're going to like road trip with him down to San Antonio?
No, I'm being serious. So I have one of my good friends, his father lives in San Antonio, runs a restaurant down there, has season ticket for the Spurs. So can we I just want to go to the game and I'll maybe road trip with Perloff down there, but then I'll fly back because I don't need to go through the entire punishment with him. This is not my words. These are his words. But can we kind of make a proposition to them? If Perloff loses, we get to do this during the basketball season next year, so I at least could go to a San Antonio Spurs game. Because my buddy's dad said, oh, come on down anytime you want. He has courtside seats for the Spurs game. I would like to see Victor Wembanyama play in San Antonio. So maybe we throw that to the Maggie and Perloff show.
Well, the only issue, though, is, I mean, this would have to be in 2 years because the bet is about him winning Rookie of the Year, which
we all
know.
May be fired by then.
Yeah, until after the season's over. So you're not going to, if you want to go down there to watch him play, you're probably going to have to wait a couple years.
So who is he going towards? Like Scoot Henderson? Chet Holmgren, I guess, is up for Rookie of the Year because he didn't play last year.
So early on, he was really big into Brandon Miller. I had to convince him that Scoot Henderson was the real deal. And I think then he kind of got into the Scoot Henderson bandwagon.
With Portland, yeah.
Yes.
And what did his best play be, Chet, though?
He's slowly realizing how bad the bet was because Wembanyama is just ridiculous.
So if somehow Victor Wembanyama, like let's say, gets hurt, which would suck, and he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, what does Maggie have to do?
Nothing.
Wait, so this is just a one-sided bet?
Yeah, this is a one-sided thing.
I love Maggie and Perloff, but this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You got to make a bet. So this is just Perloff's an idiot if Victor Wembanyama wins Rookie of the Year and he just has to drive down to San Antonio and basically just embrace that he's an idiot. Well, but if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, Maggie just sits there and nothing happens? I feel like Maggie always wins these bets and Perloff never wins these bets.
You should feel the same way because you made a bet with Perloff that he couldn't have 4 Philly cheesesteaks in another 30 minutes. And there was no negative for you. You didn't have to do anything if he did it. It was just a challenge whether or not Perloff could do it. Perloff loves taking on these challenges, and he doesn't mind doing it alone. Yeah. Maggie may or may not drive down with him, but listen, I feel it'll be a fun road trip. We get an RV, and the whole show, we go down, me, you, and Stu, and Maggie and Perloff and their producers, and we all go down together, and we have a big, fun time in San Antonio. I'm down. Let's do it.
Hey, Spike, can we get this expensed? Oh, is that a no? Oh, no, I don't know if we're necessarily going to be going.
Big time, you're not going to pay for the whole thing?
Ah, come on. Maggie and Perloff with that money that they're now making in Morning Drive? They could find a way to go on their couch and find a way to pull out a few $100 bills and get the whole trip paid for. All righty, let's get to a little Take 5 Wednesday in the Zach Gelb Show quickly.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising and which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top 5 NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Welcome to the top 5, the Ohio State Buckeyes. They beat Penn State. I still don't believe in Ohio State this season. I thought Notre Dame should have defeated Ohio State, but they were clearly the better team up against Penn State. So Ohio State asserts themselves into the top 5. I still have Washington at 4 because of that win up against Oregon, even though that was an underwhelming performance up against Arizona State, but that happens. Florida State is in at 3. They continue to compile impressive performances, even if they start having to work from behind with the hole that they dig themselves in, but they beat the side of LSU in the second half to open up the season, then came from behind against Clemson, and then came from behind against Duke and still beat them by 18. Georgia's still in at 2 because of the Brock Bowers injury, even though they haven't lost the game yet. And at number 1 are the Michigan Wolverines, who really get their season started coming up on November 11th when they play Penn State, and then shortly after that, the Ohio State. So quickly, Ohio State 5, Washington 4, Florida State 3, Georgia 2, and Michigan 1. Samter, speak now, forever hold your peace.
How can you leave out Nick Saban and Bama?
Because Tennessee's their best win of the season. Now, it was impressive. I give them credit for finding a way when it looked like their season was over, down 20-7, playing their best quarter of the season, but they did lose to Texas, and Texas only has one loss, so I can't put Bama in the top 5 if I don't put Texas in the top 5.
Well, speaking of Texas, I mean Texas, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's still undefeated. They beat Texas, who also beat Alabama, so how is Oklahoma not in the mix?
So Oklahoma's definitely under consideration. I look at that Ohio State win against Penn State, and I valued it. And there was one spot there. I was teetering back and forth between Oklahoma and Ohio State. And I said to myself, if Oklahoma plays Ohio State, I just have to give the slight edge to the Buckeyes. Anyone else?
And then I guess the Texas Longhorns. I know we just kind of talked about them. They had that loss. And Quinn Ewers is hurt. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if they can continue doing this and Quinn Ewers comes back, I mean, they certainly deserve an opportunity.
Yeah, they do. And we'll see if they win the rematch of that Big 12 game between Oklahoma, if that's the Big 12 championship game. And also, I know they won Oklahoma against UCF, but I didn't love their performance in that 31-29 win, especially coming off a bye. All right, real quickly, rapid fire in the NFL. This was tough. 5, the Detroit Lions, even though they just got obliterated by the Baltimore Ravens. 4, the 49ers, even after losing back-to-back weeks. The Ravens have moved up into the third spot. I put the Philadelphia Eagles in at 2. And at 1, I know people say the Chiefs are vulnerable, but they only have one loss, and that was the Detroit Lions without Travis Kelce and also Chris Jones. So those are my 5 in the NFL. Chiefs, Eagles, Ravens, 49ers, Lions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Real quickly.
I'm surprised that you left out the Jaguars because you love Trevor Lawrence.
I do, but I had to put the Lions in front of them because the Lions beat the Chiefs. The Jaguars did not beat the Chiefs. So that's why I went with the Lions on the slight edge.
And obviously, Tua and the Dolphins, that offense still looks great even though they had a few hiccups.
So the Dolphins are a team that they're going to win the AFC East. They're going to be in the playoffs. No one's going to want to face them because of their offense. But in their two biggest games, they got blown out against the Bills and they didn't look all that great up against the Philadelphia Eagles. All righty, great show today. Big thanks to Moist Mike for producing the extravaganza. Stu loves that. And also welcome back, Stuart Kovacs. Big thank you to Peter Fagan, the president of the Bucks, for stopping by. Jordan Travis, the quarterback at Florida State. Former big league slugger, Mo Vaughn, and each and every one of you for participating with the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.